Tuesday of the fifth week of Ordinary Time. The first reading is Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and following. God said, "Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky." And so it happened. God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of swimming creatures with which the water steams, and all kinds of winged birds. God saw how good it was, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile, multiply, and fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came, and morning followed, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creatures, cattle, creeping things, wild animals of all kinds." And so it happened. God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, all kinds of creeping things on the earth. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over all the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the ground." God created man in his image. In the image divine, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things that move on the earth." God also said, "See, I give you every seed-bearing plant and all over the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food, and to all the animals of the land, all the birds of the air, and all the living creatures that crawl on the ground, I give all the green plants for food." And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he found it very good. Evening came, morning followed, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed, since on the seventh day God was finished with the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. Such is the story of the heavens and the earth at their creation. This is the word of the Lord. My dear family, our beloved Father, pronounce the word, and every beautiful living creature came to be out of his providence and love. What for? All for us. At the center of all creation, he placed man. Man meaning men and women. God did not need all of creation. It's all the fruit of his love, of his creative power, to reflect his beauty and his love for us. And he made us in his image. That means that we too can love. And notice that God is speaking, let us. So it's like speaking to a person. Who could that person be? It's the Word, the Eternal Son, through whom He made all things, in the unity of the abiding love of the Holy Spirit. And so God is never alone, and yet He generously wants to share His existence and His love with all of us. Our response should be one of profound gratitude, amazement, and therefore a giving of ourselves. God the Father gives Himself completely through Jesus Christ to bind us in love on the Holy Spirit. My dear family, let us therefore appreciate creation. God gave us dominion. Dominion comes from the word domus, which means home. How do you take care of your home? The universe is not to be abused. We need to pass it on to the next generation with all its beauty, well loved and protected. But we do have dominion because we continue in the creative power of God that has been given to us as creatures to cooperate with Him so that all things may come to their fullness through our love and through our care. And this is the kind of dominion that the sons of God perform. The house belongs to God, and He shares with us the power, the authority to take care of this beautiful creation that He has given to us. And we must remember that it's not just for a few. God created for all, and we are called to share the goodness of the earth with all our brothers and sisters in a way that everyone should have a real participation of the land. So let us go to the gospel. Mark 7:1-13. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of His disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, in fact all the Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned Him, "Why do your disciples not follow the traditions of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's command, but cling to human tradition." He went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever curses father or mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is korban,'" meaning dedicated to God, "'you allow him to do nothing more for his father or mother.' You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many such things. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, again, Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees who are after him. And notice that now it's the Pharisees from Jerusalem and the scribes from Jerusalem, and those are the ones who have the most power, and they're teaming up against Jesus. In fact, Jesus is in trouble, and this would lead to his crucifixion. In trouble in the sense of a human understanding, but Jesus is not put back. He continues boldly to love and to serve. And notice that love is not being wimpy, is not being afraid. Oftentimes, love demands confrontation and demands that we set things in the truth for the good of all. And so the conflict here is about the washing of hands, which the Pharisees were concerned about, not because of hygiene, but because of ritual purity. If you did not fulfill these rites of washing hands, you would be considered unclean, koinos in the Greek. And it literally means profane. In other words, the opposite of holy. You cannot be a holy person, they thought, if you didn't follow all these rituals. Perhaps the Pharisees were after Jesus, bringing to bear now the fact that it was not possible for the multitudes out in the field to have washed their hands. They had no way to do that. And so the Pharisees would condemn that meal as being unholy, not from God. You see, they do not understand, they do not see the big picture, the great miracle that has happened. They only are closed into their ritual observances, and this is their fall. Now, on top of that, it needs to be said that those rituals of washing hands, according to the law of Moses, in other words, they're taking it from the Bible, it's Exodus chapter 30, but it only applies for the priests serving out at the altar. It was the Pharisees, and that's where Jesus confronts their traditions. They took something that was applying only for the priests, and they forced it upon everybody in all the meals. And furthermore, the Pharisees thought that someone who did not fulfill these rituals, because they were unclean, should be separated from the rest of Israel, because they were not really helping us to get the favor of God. They were people who were outside religion. How great sorrow Jesus experiences at all this. Calling your brothers and sisters accursed because they don't follow these ritual practices. What happens next? Jesus calls them hypocrites. Literally, stage actors. They're fake. They're so concerned about these rituals, and yet their hearts are so far away from God. So Jesus invokes the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13, to say that there will come a time where God himself will intervene in defense of his people. And now the time has come. God will again be intimate with his people. It no longer will be a religion of ritual practices, but a religion of love and being able to touch God and touch one another in God. Now, be aware that this passage is often used against Catholics because these people will claim that Catholics are also clinging to traditions. But notice that the key word here is human traditions. St. Paul himself speaks to us about the importance of following the real traditions that God has given to us. For example, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, "Stand firm and hold fast to the traditions which you were taught, either by oral statement or by the letter of ours." So St. Paul tells us the importance of the true traditions. So here, the problem of the Pharisees is that they're making up their own traditions and using them to reject people and to hate people. And this is, of course, an offense to the Lord. Finally, Jesus brings as an example of their hypocrisy the fact that, according to the Pharisees, if a person gives the money that should be given to the parents in their old age to the temple, that money will become sacred and they would have to do nothing for their parents. Jesus sees that as a travesty because the law of the Lord, the Quran, the commandment, was that you should honor your father and your mother, take care of them in their old age. My dear family, what do we get as a lesson from all this? The Lord is teaching us love. A love that is more demanding than just ritual practices, but it's a call, a demand of a new heart that has been transformed by encountering Jesus Christ. God bless you.